Right. Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Good to be back in the Lord's house this morning. As Pastor said, we've been in Uganda a while. My wife and one of our children are here. Eric is supposed to be here somewhere, maybe even Sean, our three children. We arrived here in August of 99. That's 1999. And through a series of missions trips that the church had been taking for many years, it stirred and convicted my heart that maybe I should be doing something else than what I was doing. And by profession, I'm a PA. I'm a physician assistant. I was working in orthopedic surgery. My wife, Elena, is a nurse. But the Lord got a hold of us and showed us maybe we could be doing something else than treating the fat cats around Washington, D.C. So now we're working in Uganda, and we thank the Lord for that. And we thank you, our supporting and sending church, for your prayers and support all these years. We appreciate it so very much. It would be very difficult to do the work without it, and we're very appreciative for that. So if you have your Bibles, we are going to turn to the book of James, chapter 4. I'll be giving or interspersing a few updates of what's going on in Uganda. And I'm not even going to tell you the verse yet, just to keep you in suspense. Yes, James chapter 4. So Uganda, just very briefly. So we arrived there in June 2011. As what? As church planters, missionaries, no matter who they are, their number one job is to get out, share the gospel, see people won to the Lord, see them baptized, discipled, and start churches. That is the basics of New Testament church planting. And that was my vision when I went there. But little did I know, sometimes the Lord changes your plans a little bit. So in 2016, when Brother Jeremy and Mandy had to come off the field, the Ministry of SOAP, that's the Soroti Orphan Assistance Project, was gently laid into my lap at that time. And that project basically is a ministry. It's a boarding school for orphans. And this vision was seen and realized by Dr. Kyle Guyman. It's a missionary from St. Louis, out of St. Louis. He and his wife, Miss Debbie, were there in the late 90s, and they were asked to begin a ministry for orphans. There are still many orphans in Uganda, but back then, civil war was going on with a guy named Joseph Kony, and between disease and civil war, many, many orphans. So this ministry began. The school began in 2004. And again, when I came, my emphasis was church planting. But when that opened up, SOAP needed leadership to continue. I stepped into that role as well. So it's sort of a multi, and that is the mission field. And any pastor, evangelist, or missionary will tell you the mission field, even here, a pastor's job is he wears multiple hats, and it's no different on the mission field, and that's what we're doing there. So, but the SOAP ministry, this school, it's a primary school, so it's ages 6 to about 17, and they are fully supported in this school, and it is a boarding school. They stay with us, and I emphasize the boarding school part because some people have asked me, since we're in lockdown in Uganda, what are the children doing? And, well, they're back with their families. And people are a little bit surprised. I thought they were orphans. There's no families. But they do. Africans, not just Ugandans, African in general, they're very tight-knit. It's a very tight-knit culture. The clan is very important. And we want to make sure we maintain that relationship with family. So, and who is that? That's grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. They're all back in the village, as we call it. And that's where they are, and that's where they've been since June. So a little history. Just like the rest of the world, March last year, March 2020, things kind of shut down. So the president of Uganda shut down the schools and churches and restricted transportation. That went all the way to October. So March to October, not much going on at SOAP. October it was lifted, so we began church services again, and schools opened up. And so we brought back the children in October, and off we went. In June, supposedly we had a surge in COVID cases. So in the first week of June, the president shut down the country again. No churches, no school, no transport, no private transportation, even public transportation, buses, taxis, shut down. And so that started in June. He went for 42 days. I don't know how we got 42 days, but in 42 days he would reevaluate the situation. And he did. This was late July. He extended the lockdown another 60 days. So that's when Elena and I and a colleague, actually her idea, was to come back, take care of some things, and then we'd go back. And we are due to go back this Friday, this coming Friday, the 24th. So if you could pray for us. To get back to what? To the work. The work in Uganda and anywhere else on the mission field and here in the U.S. is the priority of all believers. Amen? That is our priority. There's many ministries in the church. There's men's ministries and ladies' ministries and children's and all kinds of things going on. But the primary number one goal or ministry of a church or any ministry on the field is getting out the gospel. So one of our colleagues, well, briefly, a little chain of command. So I'm the only Y chromosome there in Soroti. That's male. That's the male species. I work with four single ladies, two widows and two single ladies. And I'll tell you, they're quite the personalities I have to put up with. But somehow we all get along. We're all family. So one of those colleagues, so we locked down in June. The vaccine is available in Uganda. It's AstraZeneca, but in very short supply. We could never get it because they were always out. So our colleague got this wild idea of coming back here for her to get the vaccine and take care of things and wanted to know if we wanted to come along. And I said, okay, it sounds good. I mean, lockdown. The children are not there. They're in the village. No church services, but I'll explain how we're doing that. So we did. We came back. We arrived August 7th, so just last month. Got some things done, and we're going back this Friday. The work. I know when we came back, the vaccine, masks, distancing, this whole thing has become, I won't say justifiably, but it's become, there's some controversy, there's some political things going on with it. But let me share you my philosophy. And I'll speak real slow so you can write it down. My philosophy is this, in all this, the COVID stuff. A healthy missionary on the field can do a lot of work for the Lord. A sick missionary does little work, and a dead missionary does no work. So what do I want to do? I want to stay the healthiest I can so I can get back to the work and serve the Lord. And if that means distancing, hygiene, masking, and even getting the vaccine, then that's what I'm going to do. And in fact, that's already done. We're already done our two doses. Because why? Because there's work to do on the field. And that is my primary duty as a believer. That's my mission field, we'll say. Your mission field is here in the Herndon area. And remember, we've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6 is very clear. We have been bought with a price. And that price is what? Blood and his very life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are not our own, the scripture says. So I can't just do whatever I want to do or say whatever I want to say. I have a mission. I have a race. We're in a battle. And Hebrews 12 talks about that. So I'm going to do whatever I need to do to stay in the race. And I can't stay in the race, number one, if I'm dead. Absolutely not. But even if I'm sick, it's difficult. So here we are, and I'm going to do what we need to do. So in James chapter 4, verse 14. You know this verse, very well-known verse. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The take-home point here, life is short. Life is short. Younger people don't quite get it. When I was younger, I thought life was just going to go on and on forever. But when we reach, the old age of 30, 40, 50, as we get older, we understand that life is moving, especially those who are parents with grown children. I remember when Sean, Eric, and Rachel, they were just running around the house, in first, second, third grade. And I thought, oh boy, this is so busy. So we were busy at work. Both Elaine and I were working. We had the children. But now, it just seems so fast that, they're all grown up. They're out of the house. Life moves. And in God's, if we took history on a timeline, our life would be a microsecond. It's that fast. And the Lord can see all that. We can't. We sort of see where we are now. James is saying, he's making it very clear that life is short. We're not going to be here for a long time. So as believers, we need to think about our priorities, why we're here, what we're supposed to do, what we can do to get it done, and do it. Let's turn to Hebrews. So just go back to one book, Hebrews 12, which I already spoke about. Because I'm saying, what we're supposed to do. Well, Hebrews 12 gives us a nice idea. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's that? That's chapter 11. All the witnesses they were talking about, the hall of faith. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hopefully you know it, but if you don't, I will enlighten you. We are in a race, and it's not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's not to see who gets there first. This is a lifelong race. Month by month, year by year, for when you're saved, race. And it's not who gets there first, it's who what? It's who finishes, and who finishes faithfully. Paul said it, I've finished my course, we'll get to it in a minute. Paul finished, we must finish. But how can we finish? It's right in the verse. Look at that. Let us lay aside every weight. So what are those weights? Now, one of it is sin, because he mentioned that. But what are the other weights that can slow us down or distract us? It can be anything. Sin is one thing, but even legitimate issues that we deal with every day, our jobs or careers. Come on, men. Yeah, sometimes we get so into those jobs, overtime, triple time, we spend so much time, we can get distracted and kind of pulled off course. Hobbies, sports, don't want to step on any toes, sports, yes. Whatever it might be, anything that can take our eyes off of who? The Lord Jesus. Look at verse 2. Who should we be looking at? Looking unto Jesus, who? The author and finisher of our faith. That's where we need to be looking. And sometimes, as long as we live in this flesh, because I'm telling you, I can't speak for anyone else really except me, but I'll tell you, there's many times where I can get easily distracted by concentrating on being in the flesh, whether it's, just time-wasting activities or too much time on something that I don't need to be doing, all these things can weigh us down and tangle us up. So the work is important. Remember, we've been bought with a price. We are not our own. I know the S word is not popular, but it's very scriptural. And that's slave. Slave or servant. And what does a servant or slave do? He obeys what? His master. And I'm not talking about a human master. This is the Lord Jesus. And why is he our master? If you're a believer. If you're a believer, he is the master. And what the master says to do, we do it. And that is the servant attitude, what we call the servant's heart. And so that's important to me. Again, I can't speak for anyone. So for all this COVID stuff about vaccine and masks and this and that, I'm just going to do what I need to do to stay healthy, because I was born in 1961. Yep, do the math. Yep, that's 60. And I'm feeling every year of it right now. But so my time in the race is halfway done. I'm way past half. I don't have a whole much longer. So I want to make sure I can do what I can do to be faithful. And I know Pastor has said this many times. When we get to that judgment seat of Christ and we see him and we see glory, the glory of the Lord, one of the first things that we are going to think, now maybe I can't speak for everyone, but for me, I'm going to think, I could have done more. I should have done more. This thing was a waste. That thing distracted me. What was I thinking? When we see who and what he is, we're going to think, I could have done more. And that's something we have to be aware of. And I know we don't think of that on a day-to-day basis, but we need to try at least to help us stay on course. We don't want to get pulled off course. So in Uganda, what's going on? So lockdown, technology is great. I mean, I wish we had the technology where we could live stream service or have some sort of Zoom something, but we don't have any of that in Uganda. So this is what I've done. We're not allowed to hold church services in the church building. The president says you can have family services, and that's what he calls them, at home. Family services at home, okay. So, and no more than 20. So if you have a big family, you may have to split them up. And that's what I've done. So on the church property, outside the auditorium, we just put them in another place. They had, this morning, they had a service. And it was led by Brother Paul, Ukurut Paul. He's my right-hand man. And that service is in English. But then Debbie Guyman got this wild and crazy idea. Why don't we have another service at her house? This one all in the language of Ateso, and that's the local language there in Soroti. And I said, yeah, that's actually a great idea. And so they're having now two different services in two locations in two languages. Again, that's at least 40 people. So now instead of reaching just 20, now we can reach 40. And that's, it's not perfect. It's not the best way, but it's what we can do right now. And so that's what we're doing. We're still continuing to disciple. Brother Paul and myself, we had a visitor, this is many months ago, a young lady, and Paul and I went to visit her at her home. And when I say home, it's a room. It's a room about from here, maybe to here. I mean, what's that, maybe 10 by 8? And that's how people live. They have a mattress on the floor. They might have a little table in there, and it's cement walls and a cement floor. So it was her place. So we met outside. We shared the gospel with her. She made a profession of faith. We thank the Lord for that. And right now she is being discipled. And so even though things have shut down there in Uganda and in many other African countries, we're trying to keep the work going. So we thank you for your prayers that we can continue. Again, not like it was. We don't have the full freedom yet, of things opening up, but I want to at least continue. I don't want things so shut down where we can't do anything. And that's a blessing for us. So you saw Pastor Aluka there. Let me give you two contrasts. In Uganda, back in March 2020, Ugandans weren't taking COVID very seriously. I mean, maybe a lot of people weren't, but Ugandans were not wearing masks, not distancing. They weren't doing any of that. And so COVID, let me tell you, I've known a few people who have died from COVID, but two contrasts. Brother Luca, who you just saw, he's the pastor, local pastor in Paliet. That's a village about maybe 45 minutes outside Soroti. I got a call from one of his sons, who I deal with quite a bit. He said, oh, please come. Please come now. Pastor is very sick. He said he's very, very sick. They use very sick all the time, even for a runny nose. But he said very, very. So he did the two varies. Okay, that's usually something a little more serious. So I drive out there, 45 minutes, and he's in a government clinic. It's a very small clinic. It's basically cement walls, a few rooms, and one bottle of Tylenol. That's about all they have there. And I got there. Remember the little blue books? Maybe the younger people don't, but way back we used to use those blue books for taking exams. This is a blue book with blank paper. That's what they use for their medical records. And they carry those books with them all the time. Those are their portable medical records. And so I grabbed it and I looked at it. Oh, let me get to Aluka first. So he was on a hospital bed. Eyes were closed. He wasn't quite unconscious, but he was definitely down, not looking good. So I grabbed his book and see what the hospital people wrote. Okay, so no malaria, but he has typhoid. He has pyelonephritis, that's kidney infection. He has ulcers. He has a UTI and something else. So, and that's the usual diagnoses we get in Uganda. It's never one disease. It's multiple diseases. They had tested him. They did a rapid test for COVID. They said it was negative, but I was somewhat skeptical. So we loaded him up in my vehicle. You're only allowed 3 people per vehicle, but that's okay. We took about 6. Well, we didn't find any police on the way. That's good. And we drove into Soroti. Now, as Pastor said, the Soroti Hospital is a place where you may not want to even take your little doggy to get care, because it's just... People go there often to die. They have no other, it's a last resort place, and they go there, you know, and a few days later they die, and then they take the body out. That's right. And that's a place you do not want to go. But I have to admit, they have put together a fairly efficient COVID unit where people come in, they're triaged, they're tested with a PCR COVID test. And if they're positive and in serious condition, they've constructed a building that has, well, it's not an ICU, and they do have oxygen, and that's about it. And so we brought Pastor Luca there. They took him in, and from then on it was hands off, because I knew they could figure it out. He was positive. He had a PCR positive test for COVID. They put him right into the unit, and... His O2 sats were in the low 90s. That's, you know, not great, but, you know, could be better. And so it was a little touchy the first day or so. But we thank the Lord. Within 2 days of being in the unit, and in my opinion, prayer by all of you faithful, he made a 180-degree turnaround in just 2 days. And the way you saw him on the video, that was his last 2 or 3 days. Even when he was in the unit, he was going outside, walking around. I couldn't get close to him. I never could visit him in the unit. They restricted that. They only had one family member allowed to take care of the person, meaning providing food, bathing, all those things. You know, hospitals provide no food. Family members have to come in and cook food for patients, and that's just the way it is. Probably in many African countries. But my point is, we see Brother Luca, you know, didn't look so good, made a great turnaround, and we thank the Lord that he's back in Paliet, ministering in his church there, and we thank the Lord for that. Contrasting with another person you may have heard of and asked to pray for, his name was Brother Tim. He was a missionary in Tebi. This was in June. I don't know, Pastor, you all were praying or had heard about him? Yeah. Brother Tim Joyner, longtime missionary in Kenya and then in Uganda. He called me in mid-June. He said, Brother Alan, I'm having some problems breathing, and they diagnosed me with pneumonia. And I'm just wondering how long it takes to recover from pneumonia. I said, well, Brother Tim, it's not like a cold. It's going to be a few weeks, even a few months before you get better from pneumonia. Pneumonia, lung infection, can be viral or bacterial. The big thing with pneumonia is usually fatigue and weakness. You just run out. You just feel like you're running down and you're on the couch all the time. And I said, his wife was tested positive for COVID. He was not tested as at that point. He just wanted to know when he was getting better. I said, okay, well, we'll be praying for you. And next day, he was admitted to the hospital in Entebbe. And his O2 sats were already in the 80s. And that's not good, just so you know. That's not good at all. He spent one day in Entebbe. The next day, he was transferred to a better hospital in the capital. That's Kampala. And 4 days later, he was dead. Contrasting between Pastor Naluka and Brother Timothy, COVID, sometimes, you know, not a big deal. People get over it. It can be a bad cold. Some people get hospitalized, but they get out. But some people don't. Some people don't. And according to the World Health Organization I was looking at a couple days ago, it's over 4.6 million that have died around the world of COVID. So it's a serious disease. So my point is, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse here, but personally, I have a job to do in Soroti. And actually, I have a responsibility, number one, to the Lord, but also to you, my sending church. I'm going to do what I need to do to stay healthy, to continue that work, to work with people like Brother Luca, because he's one of many church plants that we have around Soroti, and it's been difficult. They've been shut down. The main church in Soroti, that's called Independent Baptist Church, has been shut down, and Bible Institute. We had Bible Institute going there before the lockdown. And those were the men of the church plants around town. They would come into Soroti to the main church, and we'd have two or three days of lessons on a particular book, just to give them more food from the scripture to take back to their people and to help them grow. And that's all been shut down. Again, it would be great if we had technology and I could get lessons out there, but I can't. And so that's some of the work that we want to continue on with. So two contrasts between Brother Tim and Pastor Luca. Brother Tim's wife, her name is Jeanette, she has stayed in Entebbe because he has a church down there that he began. And it already has a Ugandan pastor that stepped into that. So we thank the Lord that that work is going to continue. And but please, if you remember to pray for her, Jeanette Joyner, a new widow with the loss of her husband. And so there's a lot of work and extra things put upon her. All right. So in James, back to James, my main verse, our lives are short. I know we don't think of that. I admit, I don't think about that daily. But our lives are short. But you can ask any police officer, firemen, EMTs, doctors, how quickly and how fragile life is. I know there must be people in here who've lost parents, maybe even children. It's very difficult. Life is very fragile. And living in Uganda, where there's malaria and typhoid and HIV and tuberculosis, there's a lot of diseases out there that they can get you. And Ugandan people are very, very hospitable. hospitable. I admit, compared to, and I've said this before, compared to the U.S., ministering and witnessing in Uganda is very easy. I can go to any place. I can go to a public school, a private school. I can go to a government office, and I can sit down and share the gospel with people, and they welcome us. They welcome to hear what we have to say. It doesn't mean they all get saved, but at least they'll listen. At least I can sow seed. Well, I know things are very different here in the U.S., and the Ugandans, they're very formal as well, very formal people, very happy. Despite their poverty and the issues they have to deal with, they're still very happy, but at least they're willing to listen to what we have to say. And it's still a great opportunity to get back there to continue the work. All right, so I have some goals here in my last couple minutes. I have prayer requests too, and that's the next page. Ministry goals. Brother Okurut Paul, he's 40 years old, approximately. His wife is named Rachel. They have four children. They are the house parents at SOAP, meaning they oversee all the children when they're there to make sure they're doing okay. I want to see him ordained. He has a heart for ministry and a heart for the Lord like I haven't seen in another Ugandan. I want to see him ordained and take over the Independent Baptist Church. And that's one of the goals I have. I wanted to do that earlier this year, but lockdown issues prevented that. So if you could pray for that. The new church building. There's on the property of SOAP, it's 19 acres roughly. So we have a church, a school, and a dormitory, and a big kitchen. Those are the big buildings on SOAP. For years, we've wanted to move, get the church away from the orphanage and sort of make it its own entity. And we've had issues with that as far as, we'll just say, government foot dragging, as far as getting building permits and things like that. But that's now finished, and now we can begin to build. So if you could pray for that. And the property that we obtained, that when Brother Jeremy was still there, directly abuts the SOAP property. So we just knocked an opening in the wall and put a gate, and we can just walk right through to the new church. We've already built the latrine, which is very, very important. You have to have a latrine before you can build a church. Seriously, that's the way they do it. And it's a very nice latrine, too. It's one of the nicest ones you've ever seen, so you should see it. So if you want to come over, yeah, it's great. But like, seriously, the goal is to start building on this plot that's been sitting empty for years, you know, with all kinds of grass. We finally cleared it, and we want to get the church moved. Number three, new church plant. One of our orphans, his name is Abiru Joseph. He is in Bible College in Kampala. So one of our colleagues, another BIMI missionary in Kampala, has a four-year Bible college. And Abiru Joseph is one of the orphans that grew up in our school. He went all the way through and even to secondary school. He's now in the Bible college, his second year. I want to see him complete 4 years and then get out. And as he had told me, he wants to start a church in his village or nearby his village and to start a church where people can go to hear the gospel, salvation through grace, by faith alone. That's very important because in Uganda, almost all the churches preach salvation by works. They admit, yes, you need faith, but they want to always add works to their message. And obviously, that's a contradiction of the scriptures. Salvation is by faith alone. So in many of these villages, they need a gospel preaching church. So Ibiru, he has 2 more years. I want to see him get out there, and we'll train him afterwards. But have him get out there and start that church in the village where it's needed. And of course, last but not least, Matt and Savannah Gardner. Yes, I'd want to see them get through deputation quickly and get out on the field. I was telling Brother Drew earlier, yes, when Brother Matt gets there, it's going to be a nice even 50-50 split of the work. I mean, 70-30. 70 for Matt, 30 for me, because I'm wearing out. You know, seniority has to count for something. But But seriously, to get him out there, and he is. He's very willing, very motivated, and I'm looking forward to having him out there. And because there is almost too much work for me as the leader to do. And once I get him out there, it's going to be so great where we can split things up and really do a lot of great work for the Lord out there. So if you could remember to pray for those things, we'd appreciate it very much. That was that. And again, we leave this Friday at 1800 hours, flying out of Dulles, Lord willing. Oh, one more prayer request. I came back not just to get vaccinated, but to renew my passport. Yes, it's about to expire. And those pesky airlines trying to act like immigration agents, they will stop you unless you have at least 6 months on your passport, which I don't. And unfortunately, all the appointments to get an expedited passport in Washington, because there's an agency, they're all filled up. So I have to drive to Buffalo, New York. Unless I can get an opening, you know, a cancellation where they can squeeze me in Washington. So if you could pray for that, because I'd rather not drive all the way to Buffalo and back in one day just to get a passport. But unless I have the passport, I'm not leaving. So that is a priority. So thank you so much for your prayers and support all these years. I just encourage us to keep focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, not to get distracted on other issues, so we can continue in the work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, for your blessings. We thank you for your word. Be with us in the service to follow. We give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.